Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
I'm sure many of you probably have your child's name down on a waiting list for a creche place for some time. Many, of course, hoping that they might get their child into a creche after the summer break. But I was reading this morning about 900 children. This is in Wicklow alone, all under the age of three, still on a waiting list for creche places at some service providers. I'm sure that's a story, though, that's reflected right across the country and probably resonates with many of you tuned into us here today. I want to hear your stories, though. How difficult is it to get a creche place? How long are you waiting? And, like, what do you do? If you're heading back to work now come September, maybe other kids in the house are heading off to school. What do you do if you can't get a creche place? So I want to chat to you about those alternatives, if they exist today. Avril Sheehan is with us on the line from the Care A Lot Childcare in Cork. I assume, Avril, that situation in Limerick, or sorry, in Wicklow of 900 kids, is probably common enough, is it?
Oh my God, absolutely. Actually, across the nation, there is 6,000 parents looking for childcare places for under ones. In the age bracket of 2 to 3s, there's 13,000 parents looking for places, but there's only 675 available. So as you can see, there's a huge demand for childcare places, and that's across the board in each and every county. You know, it's driving parents out of the workforce because childminders are kind of after coming out of the sector, you know, of childminding, because now all these new regulations are coming in on top of them. And it's just a very difficult job, being honest.
Why is it worse now, though, Avril, than it was 18 months ago?
Well, we've been highlighting this to Federation with, you know, the last 2 or 3 years, that this was going to become a huge problem. Core funding is driving a lot of services out of the sector and they're closing down. And our up-to-date data isn't there from the department right now. They're kind of saying, oh no, there's one opening up for everyone that's closing down. But that's not the case. And those figures that are there at the moment, they're old statistics. So realistically, we won't have a true number for that until the end of the year. So services are closing down. And plus the fact, to run a baby room, when I say baby room, that's under 12 months, it's really expensive. You have one carer for three babies, you know. So it's a cost efficiency as well. They're just, providers are closing down the baby rooms and just taking them from, you know, 12 months up.
So that's why we have, as you mentioned at the outset, we've the 6,000 babies under one currently on these lists.
And there's only 275 places across the country for those 6,000.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Isn't that mind-blowing? And parents are ringing me, like, I've given up answering the phone here, and we've done the answering service. You know, if you're looking for a place for your child, please send an email, pop their name, date of birth, when you're looking and how many days. But if you're looking for anything before September 2026, don't bother contacting us.
So that's where we're at the moment, September 2026.
Yes. Obviously, I say it a bit nicer than that now.
Yeah, you know, but no, I mean? No, it's but like, just to, that's the situation.
I have parents on a daily basis ringing me and they're distraught and they're saying, do you know anybody? Do you know any childminders in the area? And, you know, you mentioned a couple of the other providers that I know and whatever. And I say, did you try there? Did you try there? And they're like, oh my God, Avril, like, we're trying you and you're like 40 kilometres away from us. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, you know, for parents, that's huge pressure because you're getting your child up an hour earlier to get to me and, you know, to collect as well. And just, it's terrible. They've no life. They've no life. But now it's, you know, they're being driven out of the workforce and they're going to their employers and they're probably asking their employers, can I go on a reduced week? Can I go on a 3-day week? And then maybe the grandparents are picking up the slack. Well, I don't know how they're doing it.
Well, that's what I want to know today. I want to know, how are people managing all of this? Stay with us, Avril. Kira's on the line. How do you get around this problem? Kira.
Hi, Andrea. I actually, before I launch into that, I think I'd express caution about framing this discussion too tightly. I think what's going on in Ireland requires a radical cultural change when it comes to early childhood care. And that means looking not only at, you know, service providers, but, you know, maternity leave, proper paid maternity leave, proper paid and mandatory paternity leave. You know, I was just looking at there's a new thing coming in Sweden where they're allowing grandparents to be paid to mind their children. In Sweden, you get 16 months per child as maternity leave. And they brought this new thing in where that can be transferred onto grandparents or to a nominated other. I mean, that's a game changer for a single
parent.
You know,
we talked about that here in the show, Ciara, when it was announced, and yeah, it was actually a fairly mixed response to it.
Yeah, I can understand why. And I was looking online and, you know, especially from places like America's, you know, and their comments on it. But I think really, like, what's most important for young children is security and attachment. And when you go into creches where the training and the qualifications aren't recognised properly by us all and by the government, and then, you know, you get this high turnover and the children aren't creating these proper attachments and they become traumatised, is it any wonder that children in their...
Yeah, all that goes with it. So tell us then, Ciara, a little bit about your experience. Just how did you get around the issues with creche places?
Well, I was lucky. I mean, my child is 5 now. I was lucky in that I was working for a local authority when she came along, so there was a creche there. But then I moved and the commute became too much, and I was one of those parents, like your previous speaker was saying. I was ringing and trying to get her into a creche. There was no slots. They were like, call us in 2 years. And eventually then I just ended up getting a woman from a sign in a, you know, supermarket, and, you know, met her and did that. But the problem with that is that it's far more expensive. Now, what you do get is that amazing attachment, and they still have a fantastic relationship today, even though she doesn't mind her anymore. But it was expensive. It was €10 per hour. It doesn't qualify for the National Child Care Scheme. And this is something that will apply to anybody living rurally.
Yeah.
You know, and which I do now, you know, and you just don't get any governmental support at
all. That's the issue with it. And what about you, Jennifer? How did you deal with struggling to get a child place?
So, yeah, my son is 17 months now, and I first started contacting creches when I was about 12 weeks pregnant in September 2022. You know, I thought it was really ahead of the game, realised really wasn't everywhere I contacted, telling me that there was no spaces until 2025, you know, if you do the maths. I'm not sure when exactly you're meant to start putting down your name, but I suppose initially I would have planned to go back to work when he was about 9 to 10 months old, and then realised, as your first speaker said, you know, creche spots for under ones are just
not a
thing that really exists. So, you know, reframed kind of our plan. So, you know, planned to go back when he was one, but even then, you know, really struggled to find a spot. Eventually, I was offered a spot that was originally due to not start till October of this year, so that would have meant I would have been taking, you know, 12 months unpaid, because I had 6 months paid maternity leave, but then after that, you know, it's unpaid. But, you know, just kind of nagged effectively, contacted the creche really regularly, and luckily we kind of did manage to get the start date moved back to earlier this year. So he does have a spot now, and he started in March. So when he was around once, you know, we're one of the lucky ones, I suppose. But, you know, it wasn't a smooth route, and there was a lot of stress kind of along the way, and hoping it was going to work out so I could go back to work when I planned to.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. And there's so many more stories like yours, Jennifer, coming in. You know, even people texting, like this listener here, we were told to put our child's name down before the child was even born. So we put it down when I was 12 weeks pregnant. We were told that there's no places available. We've tried 5 different places. We're in the South Dublin, North Wicklow area. Many more messages like that. I suppose, ultimately, I imagine, Jennifer, what a lot of parents want is something similar to primary school. You know, that there's a sort of the early days, or the early creche or play school or whatever you want to call it, Montessori, that pre-exists before the kid goes to primary school. Is Jennifer there? You can hear me, Jennifer. We lost Jennifer. Is that something, Avril, do you think is ever likely to happen?
I don't think so. I definitely don't think so. I just think there's something going to have to be done that allows maybe new services to open up. It's just the cost, you know, funding. It's kind of a vicious circle, really, being honest. You know what I mean? There was a prime property there only recently that I went after to open up for newborns 2-3 years of age. That was the only age group that I was going to concentrate on. And at the end of the day, it was just,
too much, you know, no staffing. That was my biggest worry. I was like, I'll have no problem probably paying the loans, you know what I mean, and all the rest of it. But I was like, staffing is going to be a huge issue. So, and then the core funding, because we didn't get much of an increase, then I wouldn't be able to pay the staff. And then it was just a vicious circle. So I was like, there's no point in putting myself under that pressure. And that would have been ideal. Maybe they just need to look at the building regulations as well and expansions. You know, properties and businesses like mine, that you could put on an extra room and take extra babies maybe, and have a little bit of leniency on the planning application due to the fact you're catering for under ones. I do think it's an awful pity that a lot of centres have closed down the baby rooms. I love my baby room. I adore the baby.
I know. It's
And you know, that other girl there that was talking about like not forming attachments within a childcare sector, that's rubbish. That's rubbish, because every staff member that works in childcare have a passion and a love for children. You know what I mean? And my baby staff here, my baby room staff member, is with me 5.5 years, and she's like another mother to those children. You know, she'll know the difference of their cry, that they're blackguarding, you know, the old cry is, oh, I can't get my toy kind of thing, or a cry that I'm hurt or I'm sick, or, you know, something like that. So I believe that, you know what I mean?
What listener here says, as a grandmother filling in the gaps working part-time, I don't know why we women aren't marching in the Dáil to demand undue care, just like the farmers. We're too polite, according to Margaret. What about you, Laura? What's your experience?
Yeah, my experience is that I consider myself lucky. I'm currently on maternity leave and I've been off just over 6 months now. I have a creche place, but not until January, when she'll be 16 months old. And that's essentially because I'm relying on a sibling place. I had preference getting into that creche only because my eldest daughter was there, who was there since she was 7 months. But like a lot of creches, they closed down their baby room and the next room up. So they only have from 16 months to cover that gap. Yeah. I put myself on, say, 10 or 15 different creche waiting lists when I was probably 8-10 weeks pregnant. And like that, they were all full until sort of September 2025 at the time. And I just, like, as other people have said, when you do the math, those children aren't conceived. So I don't know when you're expected to put 10 places. And I know a few, like, there's many mothers in the same creche as myself who have the older children in places that, that do have places. And we consider ourselves very lucky that we have those places. And talking to other friends I've met while I'm on maternity leave, they've nothing, and they're like, how did you get a place there? And thankfully I have a sibling place, but it's that gap, because like workplaces will only be so flexible, I suppose. I mean,
no, and
even trying to afford, you know, trying to afford to live when you're not earning. Then I was lucky, I was paid for the 6 months, but I've been on unpaid leave for the past 6 months, and I'm due back to work now in 2 weeks, and I've been lucky enough to find a local childminder. But for many, the cost of that, you know, the cost of that for me is the same as the creche place would be. But if you're getting somebody into your home, you're looking at paying close to 3,500, 4,000 a month. Then you have to pay their PRSI because you're an employer, and it's just not sustainable for most people.
No, there's very few, I suppose, in the position to be able to do that. Although there's quite a few actually texting in about, you know, the fact that, I mean, they're basically hiring people to come into their home to mind their kids, and obviously it's all off the books.
Yeah, I don't know, because most people I've spoken to have sort of said are doing it on the books for a short term thing. They're using all sorts of savings and things because it's just, they've nothing. There's no way they can. Most people I know can't afford to not go back to work, but then are going to be seriously struggling if they do go back to work. You're essentially going back to work, working for free, essentially.
Yeah, listener here says, to have enhanced childcare for children like Sweden, we're going to need to tax people much more, which, of course, can you imagine the level of uproar and discussion you'd have on the show then, Andrea? A texter says, more workplaces should have creches. I think it would be a brilliant solution. I imagine it would, but I mean, what would the cost, Avril, of that be? If more businesses were to start having, you know, creche facilities.
If more businesses, sure, it's like another business within a business, if that makes sense. And then do you have the people with the expertise to actually open up these creches and stuff like that? And being honest, if you were trying to hire managers and staff yourself, like, it's just so hard. There's a huge staffing crisis. And don't anybody be fooled. Like, we are suffering. A very good friend of mine over the road, who runs a larger centre than mine, had to close down for 2 weeks. She had no staff. Her staff were entitled to their holidays. They were after taking holidays. Sick staff. And she just had to close her doors, and she had to notify her parents on a Friday that she wasn't able to open on the Monday. Like, that's horrific. There's a huge... So opening up a creche within a business...
I can't imagine how many businesses would be in a position to do that. I do want to read this email as well, Avril, maybe to yourself or to Laura, if you'd like to respond, because there's a few messages similar to this, but this one in particular sort of caught my attention. Has anybody considered that it's good for parents to look after their own children? My husband and I looked after our own kids by taking turns. I worked, he worked. We made sure that one of us was always looking after our own children, and we lowered our lifestyle expectations. We never ate out. We never went to the cinema. We never did anything that cost much money. We don't have a fancy house. We've no marvellous kitchen. No crap. But what harm? What we did was we brought up and raised our own children. That's better than anything else. How about it, people? What about if you want children, you actually raise them yourself? I don't know if you fancy responding to that, Jennifer.
Well, I mean, I don't want to kind of, I suppose, be too disparaging, but I think, you know, realistically, the part of Dublin that I live in, it really isn't sustainable to probably get by for on a single income. You know, we were already living where we were living when we had our children. So unless we were to completely relocate, that just isn't really an option for us, I suppose. Obviously, everyone has a different situation, but for us, I think it wouldn't really be sustainable. And so something we did look at was, you know, part-time and kind of working less days a week, so we wouldn't need as much childcare, but you basically can't get part-time childcare because there's so much demand that they can give you that spot to a full-time person. So why would they take you on part-time? So, you know, there's no middle ground, really. It's one or the other,
There's very few, Avril, that, you know, I suppose having one person at home full time is just in today's, with, you know, world, the cost of living and inflation, everything that goes with it. I mean, I imagine there's very few probably in a position to do that.
I'd say very few in a position to do it, but wouldn't it be fantastic? Wouldn't it be fantastic? Because, like, that's why I opened up a service here. I didn't want my children going to, we'll say, the big chains where there's 160 kids on a daily basis. You know, I wanted something smaller, more homely and all the rest of it. Now, I couldn't give up my job. I had to work. And then it just took off for me, right, which was I never wanted to get any bigger. But I do think, wouldn't it be amazing if parents could stay at home and rear their own kids and live on one wage? But unfortunately, that's not the reality. Huge mortgages, huge cost of living. Two parents have to work. There's no two ways about it.
Avril Sheehan from Care A Lot Childcare in Cork. Also, Kira, Jennifer, Laura, thanks a million for getting in touch with us in the programme. The email, that's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.